Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to hear from heaven. Father, I thank you for these five speakers, dear Lord God, as they speak forth your word. Lord, they've been studying and preparing. I thank you for bringing all things to their remembrance, dear Lord God. And I thank you that everyone here, including myself, have ears to hear what your spirit is saying, dear Lord God. And Father, I pray a special blessing over our congregation today, but not just us alone. Father, we pray for Pastor Mark Greenhouse at the Cross Church in Riverside, one of the churches we oversee. We pray for Pastor Jay and Crystal Matthews in Beaumont, Texas, another one of our churches, Father God. We pray for Pastor Bowman, Heavenly Father, and Christ the Cornerstone right here in Chino. Bless them, Father God. We pray for King's House of Worship, Pastor Rachel, Father God, and her husband Ken. We pray for New Day International down in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We lift up Pastor Daniel and Eliechi, Father God. We pray for Hope of Christ in Zanin, South Africa, Father God. We pray also, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Transformed in the Philippines, Pastor Eduardo and his wife, Geraldine. And Father, we pray for our new church, New Day Zambia, dear Lord God. We thank you for Pastor Archie and his wife, Ruth, as they're raising up leaders, getting ready for their church launch. So, Father, we pray for our churches, but also to all the churches here in Corona, in the Inland Empire, in Southern California, throughout the whole nation, dear Lord God. Pour your spirit out upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first up, Brother Ed Stowe.
God is good, isn't he? Yes. Amen. So, Lord, we pray that you would just bless the hearers and doers of your word. And I will be coming from Matthew 12, verse 40. Very simple message. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth. And you remember the story of Jonah, how God called him to go into Nineveh and to speak out against that city because their affliction, the sins have came up before him. Amen. And Jonah, he was disobedient to the will of God. He was also fleeing from the presence of God. Jonah fled down to the seaport of Joppa, and he hopped aboard a ship that went down to Tarshish. Those who Christ, God loved, he chastened, just as a father would chasten his son. God called a storm upon the sea, so fierce that even the seamen aboard the ship cried out to their God. You know the story, how the seamen cast lots and the lot fell upon Jonah. They took Jonah and they threw Jonah overboard. And Jonah went down into a raving sea. And the whale came and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah went down into the whale's belly. I'm here to tell you this morning that sin will lead you into a spiral, leaving down deeper and deeper to a state that there is no return. I wonder, is there anywhere that I can go to escape the presence of the Lord? If I ascend unto the heavens, behold, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the yonder parts of the deep, behold, thou art there. In God, all right. Hey, listen, where can I go? My God is Ammonai present. He's omnipotent, he's all power, and he's everywhere at the same time. And I heard him say in his word that if my peoples will call by my name, would humble themselves and pray, then will they hear from heaven. Jonah, he began to cry out in affliction unto God. He began to cry out in remorse. He began to repent, and God heard his prayer. It was the God of the sea who resurrected Jonah from the deeps of the sea. And I heard him say that Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees that greater than Jonah is here. Don't you know that my God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him shall not die but have eternal life. Isn't that great? And it was Jesus. It was Jesus who stepped out of eternity and he stepped into time. Oh, my God. He stepped into time. It was Jesus that hung bled on the cross. It was Jesus that they put in a borrowed tomb. It was Jesus who took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It was Jesus who led captivity captive on high. It was Jesus that I call on. I was sinking in sin, never to rise no more, but I cried out to the master, and he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me, and he placed my feet on solid ground. Have you ever called on him? He is at the doors of your heart. Won't you open up and let him come in and sup with you?
Like football. Huddle up. Good morning. Good morning. This morning I want to talk about Herbert Niche. He's known as the deepest man on earth. He's achieved over 33 free diving. That means diving without scuba gear or breathing apparatus. He enters the abyss on just 9 minutes of air and then comes back up. He holds a world record in 2012 for diving over 253 meters. That's deep. That's equivalent to the 56, the Jenga Tower in New York. But this morning I want to talk about going deep because in an interview I picked up on something, and this was called head, heart, hand. See, in his preparation to get all those world records and taking it deep, he talked about the head, meaning he needs the knowledge. He needs to know the weather conditions and the temperature of the ocean. He talked about the heart, his beliefs, his risk management. Imagine holding your breath for 9 minutes and getting in the water and beginning to think about, oh, did I turn off the stove? Or worrying, anxiety. So he calms himself when he goes into the water. And then hand. Hand represents his actions that he takes. When he goes down, he has to prepare himself because if he comes up too fast, he'll suffer from decompression sickness, which means his body can go into like a stroke underwater. I want to use the head, knowledge, heart, belief, and hand to encourage us to take it deeper. Head, knowledge. We're familiar with these scriptures, but let's take a look at them. Proverbs 1:7 says, "Fear the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom." Who believes that knowledge is power? Amen. And it's true, but if that was the case, wouldn't there be a line at the library? There's lots of knowledge there, right? Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." So we need to get it. New Day Christian Fellowship has lots of knowledge. We have classes, two services, a mission trip, life groups. It goes on and on. So get that knowledge. But with that, you want to also take care of your heart. Say heart. Head, heart. John 16:9 says the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. In our heart, we have to have belief. Matthew 15:8 says, these people, and Jesus was talking to some Pharisees, these people honor with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Galatians 5:22-23 says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So from our heart, which speaks the mouth, people should see the Holy Spirit coming out. Amen? And next, it's the hand or our actions. We've all had that friend, family member, or coworker that said, Satan knows the word of God backward and forward, but does he live it? Right? So we have to make sure our actions show what we have in our head and what we have in our hearts. James 2:14 says, faith without good deeds is dead. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Our purpose is to go and seek and save the lost. We've been given a great commission. We have to go and physically do those things. It's great to have the knowledge, and it's great to have it in our hearts, but God wants us to also serve. Serve at church. Serve at work. Serve in our committees. So our actions should show what's in our heart. Amen? Amen. And then Matthew 22:36-40. This is great because someone came to Jesus, and he asked him. And at this time, they're living under the Ten Commandments. But he said, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, where our soul and spirit are, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the hand part. We can get the first through town, but if we don't love our neighbor as ourselves, how are we representing the head, the heart, and the hand? On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So let's go out and let's show the world that we're taking it deeper in our head, heart, and hand. Amen.
Tell your neighbor, put your seatbelt on, buckle up, hang tight. All righty, deeper. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, New Living Translation. I read it in your hearing. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thought except for God's own spirit. And then we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. And this is the message version. I thought this was funny. So come on, let us leave the preschool fingerprinting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place, turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning and trusting toward God and baptismal instructions, laying on hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us. We'll stay true, but there's so much more. Let's get on with it. I want you to write this down, that the relentless pursuit of God starts at the cross, but it does not end there. And so we have to understand that Paul was telling us, yeah, we can know the things of God. Yeah, we should already be laying on hands. We should already be seeing miracles. We should already know the baptism. We should already know the, you know, religious instructions. But it goes beyond that. And Paul started at Christ. He said, I want to start at Christ. But when he went to the Corinthian church, he put aside everything he already thought he knew, that he thought he assumed. And he said, I'm just going to go and let the Holy Spirit talk to me, to you guys. I'm going to let you know today say that Ezekiel, to me, he's one of the most underrated prophets in the Bible. And if you don't know who Ezekiel is, that right there should be your reason why you should go deeper. You should study the book of Ezekiel. And he said, and he was worried at this time because then the children of Israel had acted a plumb fool by now. And they done chased every prophet away. And he's like, God, look, I can't go talk to them. Like, nah, fam, this is not going to work for me. I don't know about you, but do you know the children of Israel? Have you heard about them? They're stubborn. They're rebellious. They don't know how to act. They lie. They steal. They want to worship any god they want to. I can't go. But God said, look, Ezekiel, I already know that you don't have it in you. Duh, I'm God. I created you. But I want you to listen to me. And he told him, he said, I want you to eat the whole scroll. I want you to eat the whole scroll. In Ezekiel 3, 1 through 2, then he said, son of man, the voice said to me, this is Ezekiel talking, son of man, eat, what am I giving you? No, sorry, this is God talking to Ezekiel. The voice said to the son of man, eat what I'm giving you. Eat this scroll. Then go and give its message to the people of Israel. So I opened up my mouth and he fed me the scroll. See, you going deeper is not about you. You going deeper is so that you can go out into the world to the children of Israel of this world, the ones that are rebellious, the ones that are cast down, the ones that are depressed, the ones that have anxiety, the ones that are on drugs, the prostitute that's on the corner, the drug dealer. And if you only know the things of Christ, if you've only studied Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you haven't gone past the Gospels, and you don't know who Ezekiel is, and you don't know who Deborah is, yes, she was a judge, and if you don't know anything of God only but the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord, then how can you tell the deeper things to those that need to know who God is, who God really is? See, starting at the cross is what we should know. We should already know the fundamentals of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, and Jesus Christ, the blood and the power that's in it. But it's time to go deeper. In order to go deeper, you got to put the baby food down, is what the Holy Spirit told me this week. Put the baby food down, boo. It's time to eat steak. Do you want to eat steak? Do you want to eat this prime rib? Or do you want to keep eating this mashed potatoes and peas? I'm trying to feed you the real words of God. I'm trying to tell you who I really am. I'm trying to tell you who I really sent my son for. And it goes beyond the cross. It goes beyond the cross of Jesus Christ. We can start there. And that's good, fine, and dandy that you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and James, and Psalms, and Proverbs, and all those cute Bible scriptures that we like to quote. But if you don't go deeper and get into Chronicles, hallelujah. If you don't go deeper and get into Judges, if you don't go deeper and get into Revelations, you'll never know what God really puts you on the earth for. In order to really, we got to be planted. In order to be planted, Pastor Tony gave a good example. We got to be planted in Christ, but being planted in Christ goes beyond the Gospels. Being planted in Christ does real work. See, I know y'all don't like that. Y'all don't want to do real work. We like to do the easy things. That's what this generation is about. We like for everything to be easy and smooth. You don't want to do the real work that it takes to learn who God really is. Go deeper.
Amen. Say surrender, submission, sanctification. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now I'm going to read this again. Surrender to the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Submit to his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil by sanctifying yourself. Amen? Amen. Surrender. Surrender means to cease to resist to an opponent and submit to their authority. I don't know why God would be your opponent, but we do have a problem submitting to his authority. Amen? So sometimes you have to surrender your way of thinking. Well, they should have said, well, this is how they should have answered me. Well, they should have said thank you. Well, my mama should have did, and my daddy should have said, and my sister should have acted, so forth and so on. How we see people. Oh, look at her. She walking in here with her nice dress, her nice shoes, always got herself together. She all bougie. The understanding of situations. What happened to me when I was a child? This shouldn't have happened to me. Why did my mother do that? Why did my father do that? What was going on with them? Understanding why things happen to us. changing our understanding of situations. And once we surrender our will, once we surrender our understanding and our ways of thinking, that gives us the opportunity to submit to God for your purpose. Amen? Let's talk about submission. The definition of submission is voluntarily cooperating with anyone out of love and respect for God, first, and secondly, out of love and respect for that person. There are four types of submission: functional, relational, reciprocal, and universal. We're just going to talk about two for this next slide. Relational, a loving acknowledgement of another's value as a person. Reciprocal, a mutual humble cooperation with one another. Well, what does God say about submission? Well, read Colossians. He's going to give you a lot of submission. Okay? So first he tells wives, submit to your husbands. But then he says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Then he tells children, obey your parents. But then he tells parents, don't embitter your children so that they become discouraged. Employees, work hard for your employer. But then he tells the employers, be just and fair with your employees. I only have 5 minutes, so you guys ask God what he's talking about to you about that. Amen. And then once we submit, we continue the process of sanctification. To cleanse or set apart for sacred use, we are to come more like Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. And how do we do that? He then goes on to tell us, I'm talking about Paul in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, I urge you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you sanctify yourself, you'll be able to understand God's will for your life, and you will be able to surrender, submit, and continue your sanctification. When you go deeper, God promises us. In Philippians 1 and 6, he says, we can be confident of this, that who began a good work in us will carry into our completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Going deeper is uncomfortable, but God promises to complete what he has started in us. Amen? Amen. Let's say surrender, submission, sanctification.
Jesus is King. Question for you, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? Another question for you. How do you know when a relationship is getting serious? Just think about it. Come on now, y'all, come on. I only got 5 minutes. How do you know when a relationship is getting serious? Things start to change. The way you talk to each other, you become closer. Maybe you spend less time with your friends, the friends that you used to hang out with. You don't hang out with them necessarily so much because you're hanging out with your boo thing at this particular moment. You're getting to know her. You're getting to know him a little bit better. Maybe you've eliminated some of the distractions that were going on that is hindering my relationship between my wife or the person that I'm dating, the person that I'm courting my husband to be or whoever that may be. I'm spending less time with other things because I want to spend more time with that person, that one, right? How deep is your love? Maybe you begin to act different as you were getting ready to connect with whoever you're connected with now. And those of you who are single, just hold on. God has something for you as well. But maybe you begin to act a little bit different. Your friends may be, you're acting strange. You're not acting the way that you used to act. You're not talking the way that you used to act. You're not hanging out with me the way you used to be. Your actions are changing as your love is going deeper. We're talking about deeper. And our relationship with God has to go deeper. It's not just the relationship that mama has and not the relationship that your grandfather has, that your uncle has, but it now has to be the relationship that you have with the Lord. It's not just the thing to do, but it is the relationship that we want to build with the King of Kings. We want to go deeper in our understanding. and have more secrets. Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hid deep in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you take the word hid, that's your image, that's something that's going deep on the inside of you. It's not simply just reading the word, okay, I get it, the Lord is my shepherd. All right, cool. But now it's reading the word and understanding the Lord is my shepherd. See, when it gets into your heart, there's a revelation that happens. It's something that changes on the inside. Your mind connects with your spirit and your heart connects with the Father, and the word becomes alive and it becomes real because it's being hidden deep on the inside of you. He is not just a shepherd, but he's my shepherd. He's the one that loves me. He's the one that consoles me. He's the one that keeps me. He's the one that provides for me. He's the one that takes care of all of my needs. And so that word is in my heart, and I'm holding on to that heart, holding on to that word. And because I'm holding on, I understand that this word has value to me. His word is valuable, so I'm hiding it. It's not just on the surface level. It's something deep that I'm holding precious. His, how deep is your love? David, all through Psalms 119 is so long. He's just talking about how he loves the word of God, how the word of God is precious to him, how he can just eat it. He can just taste it. He can, Lord, your word is better than life unto me. Your word is better than life unto me. Because the word is hidden. It has a relationship value. When we understand the word, we recognize how valuable the relationship that we have with God. His promises are now being valued because they're hidden. His word is valuable. We go past the surface, the truth is revealed. When we go past the surface, the truth is revealed. Imagine a house. You look at a house. It looks real pretty until you go through inspection. Anybody ever bought a house? Any home buyers? All right, so you have to go through inspection. You realize maybe there's something going on with the wood. Maybe there's some termites. It looks really, 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 really good on the outside. But after a deep inspection, you find out there's something deeper that's hidden on the inside that needs to be changed, that needs to be fixed. Perhaps you're dealing with a medical situation. You look real good and healthy, but you find out there's something going on with the heart. The heart's just not beating the way it should be. I look real good. I look real healthy. But wait a minute. I had to take a blood test, and the blood test says there's something that we need to correct. We need to fix. See, it's the same analogy. When you're talking about the word of God, I can look like I'm doing a whole lot of things right. I can shout on stage. I can sing. I can come to church. But if the word hasn't been hidden in my heart, then what's going on? What's going on? See, you have Sunday, and then you have life group. See, you have just coming to church, and then you have serving. See, I can just come to church on Sunday morning, but how deep is my love? Am I engaged with the body of Christ throughout the week? Am I engaged in the word of God throughout the week? Do I only come on Easter? Do I only come on Mother's Day? But the word of God has to get deep into your heart. So the question is, how deep is your love? And I just want to leave you with this real quickly from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead as the end approaches. People are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They will make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people and get your love deep.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen.